Live in 5, 4, 3. You know the rest. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Studio Live Today and Home Studio Q&A from a fairly different location, let it be said. We're here live from the beach. So I hope you are doing well. And yeah, we're going to get into it. We've got a bunch of questions here today. I actually have an assistant here. The beautiful part of being on holidays is if I have an assistant, she can pop her head in there. Hello. So she'll be checking the questions. You can drop your questions by using the link, which is at studiolivetoday.com/QA. And that will be where you can find everything you need. Hello to the folks we have here live. We have Bubba here. Hello, Tom, Rochelle, Benedict Stewart. We've got Patrick Chandler, Gino, Therese, Cool Music Tech. Scott is here. We've got Nina here. I'm scrolling up through myself. I'm here. Joey Helpish, hello everyone in the house. Hope you're doing well on this what is a reasonably chilly Sunday morning here in Adelaide, near the beach here, and I hope you're doing well. We've got a bunch of questions here. My assistant has got the form up there, so we're going to get into those in just a few moments. But the feature topic this week, I just wanted to talk about this, not my mug. I wanted to talk about holidays. Taking a holiday or a vacation from your music, yeah? Yeah, Jasmine's got her hot chocolate there. So taking a holiday or a vacation from whatever you're doing is super important. It just means that you can actually take, there you go, you can take a break from what you're doing. We talked about this on a show recently with Jade, which is that sometimes you've got to push through, right? So sometimes you've got to use some resilience if things are not quite going well in the home studio. Or if you're working on a song and you're not really feeling it, getting something done and actually doing it can actually help. But there are times where you do need to literally just say, it is time to take a break, it is time to step away, and it is time to do something for yourself and take a break. So that's all I wanted to say about that. The quickest feature topic of all time. Main reason is that we've got a bunch of questions that we want to get to here in a minute. If you can also just confirm that the audio is okay, because obviously very different setup here today. Very different. And as the sun rises, it's over there is the rising sun, so it won't be behind us, but the video will change. And my Logitech software has decided to cark it, so I can't change my camera settings. Jasmine, what's first? What have we got for our first question? Here it is. We've got from Tappy, who says, can you teach something about vocal mixing or vocal doubling? Yes, I can, and you can remove the questions. She's got the form going on, so she can remove them as we go. Vocal doubling, vocal mixing. Now, I don't have my iPad here, so we're not going to be able to do demonstrations of anything here. But there's a couple of videos I have on the channel. If you search my name, Pete Johns Mixing, there's a whole mixing series there with vocals and all the rest of it. And if you search vocal doubling, I show that technique. In short, vocal doubling just simply means taking one vocal and then recording another second one or a third one so that you can actually layer those up. Now, this doesn't mean just taking a vocal, copying and pasting and then putting it in. This means actually re-recording that vocal a bunch of times. So when you're actually recording your vocal, just record the same thing. Don't worry, that's just someone on the boardwalk riding their bike. You're going to hear that throughout. And you're probably hearing the waves as well. But that's why I'm on the dynamic mic here today. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about the setup a bit in a minute. But yeah, vocal doubles can be really effective because they can do a few things. They can thicken up your vocal sound, but they can also mask any of those imperfections in your vocal recording. So if you're not quite hitting the note exactly as you'd like to, well, then you can actually record a second vocal or a third vocal, and the sum of those multiple vocals can actually help create a better sound. So vocal doubling is very cool for the win. Alrighty. So Tom says that it seems like I'm only coming in from the left side. Yeah, okay, so I'm on my... I thought StreamYard would be smarter than this, but I'm only on the left side. You know what I can do? I can actually come in here and if we tell StreamYard that I'm not stereo, we'll hit that button. So if you can tell me if I'm now coming back in through both speakers, because there's nothing more annoying than having me on one speaker. If you're like me and you listen on one ear of your earphones, then that would be super annoying. Let's move on to our next question. What have we got there, Jasmine? Oh, we got a long one. And this is from Christoph. Says, hi, Pete. I use the Central Sax plugin. When I do recording, it sounds great. When I restart GarageBand, the sound is a default sound, not the saxophone sound I have recorded. What is wrong? Thank you very much. Thank you, Christoph. And I don't have my mixer to just do my volume, so I don't even remember how to mute myself. So yeah, good question. Central Sax seems to have this problem, and I don't know if anyone else has had similar, where when you actually record it, then when you go and play it back, it's not actually giving you the exact same sound that you recorded. and some of your settings have been removed. Now, I believe that there have been some changes. So what the first thing I would do is go to the App Store, make sure you've updated to the very latest version. Make sure you're running iOS 14.4, I believe it is, and GarageBand 2.3.10, and then just try it again. Because, yeah, I did hear a lot of reports on this. According to most folks, it seems to be fixed now and it seems to be working okay. But if anyone else here in the chat has got any tips or any suggestions or has been using Central Sacks and been having the same sort of issues, maybe let us know. There you go. Cool. Both sides, mono check. We're good to go. Excellent. See, I'm so used to making sure everything's in stereo that I forgot that I'm using one channel of my Steinberg UR22C here, and plugging into just the left would only go onto the left. So quick coffee break and then Jasmine will queue up our next question. She's having a hot chocolate break as well. It is good. I like this whole having an assistant thing. I don't have to think. I can just look at the chat and have a talk, and I don't have anything to put on there either. What do we got next? Next question is coming in from Daryl Gustafson Guzzo. How are you doing? The old optimizing performance. Is there a fix? More so, why does it do it? What a good question. Optimizing performance. So if you want to learn a bit more about optimizing performance, I've got two different videos. There's sort of the what is it video, and then there's some tips to avoid it. So if you jump over to the channel and you type Pete Johns, well, don't jump to YouTube, type Pete Johns optimizing, and you can spell it either way, whether you're in the US or Canada, or I think the UK. UK, do you use the S or the Z? Or the Z, not sure. But whichever way you spell it, optimizing performance is a pain in the butt. Here's what happens. Optimizing performance is supposed to help you in GarageBand. What it does is when your iPad or your iPhone is starting to slow down, then and it's not processing your audio the way it should, what GarageBand does is it says, wait, hold everything. Instead of us trying to process these effects and these tracks, what we'll do is we'll stop it, and then we're going to render out every track into its own separate AIF file, its own separate uncompressed audio file. So what Optimizing Performance is doing under the hood is rendering out each one. So you've got eight tracks, and one's a MIDI track, second one's a drum track, third one's an audio track. It's just turning all of those into plain audio. That means that it's going to use a lot less processing power when it's actually playing those back, and that means you're not going to get as many problems. Because the issue is, if it didn't optimize, you'd start getting glitches, you'd start getting problems with your plugins, if you're using external plugins. And then the reason it pops up again is that every time you make a change, it has to switch from, so say you then tweak your compressor setting, it has to switch from using the original rendered version to an actual to the version where it's actually playing the effects live. So the ways to sort of avoid it that I found is to start out by using start by recording your tracks first, try not to add too many effects or too many other things as you're going along. And then when you're starting to process and mix, that's when you can bring in your sort of third-party plugins, your audio unit plugins, and all the rest of it. So that hopefully will help you out. But yeah, go ahead and watch all of those videos, and you'll be able to learn that. Just posing for a photo here. it's only my mother, but we've had some other people walking past and riding past and thinking that this is all very strange, but that's okay. We like strange, we like different, and it's certainly a slightly nicer backdrop than I usually have in the home studio. Could have gone a bit higher. What I tend to do at the end of these shows, I'll go up high, and at that time the sunrise should have come up, and you'll be able to see a little bit more of that. So yeah, hopefully that helps you out with optimizing performance. What do we got next on the questions here, Jazz? I've got this one from Magic. Says, how to stay confident about music I make, especially at the beginning. Any advice on building self-confidence? This is a tough one. I must admit, most of my confidence I learned, when I go to my daughter's schools, and I look on the walls, they have all sorts of things about self-confidence. One of the most recent ones that I saw, which was very, very cool, and you might have to help me with this, Jazz, is that mistakes. And the thing about mistakes, we say here all the time that mistakes make you better, and being able to learn from your mistakes and improve and fix your mistakes is a good thing. But what was it? Mistakes should be? What was it? Expected, respected, inspected, and corrected. So that's the thing. I think with confidence, a lot of the time is that we look around at people that are already doing it, and we expect that we can do it perfectly straight away. Whereas the real truth of it is that we do need to make those mistakes, because making the mistakes and then respecting them and inspecting them and then correcting them, it just means you're going to learn over time. You're going to build up your knowledge and you're going to get better and more confident over time. The other thing I say about confidence is don't try and go from here to here. So don't sort of pop your confidence balloon, so to speak. What you generally want to do is start here, learn something, and then implement it. And that's why I call it the balloon, the confidence balloon, your comfort zone balloon, is that you try something, you get it right, and then you make a mistake and it sort of the air goes out a bit, but then you blow it up again, and then maybe you make another mistake and oh no. But eventually, if you slowly build out and you slowly push out of your comfort zone, then your comfort balloon gets really, really large, right? And then it doesn't pop. So that's what I would say about confidence. What was that? Then Jasmine comes in with her pencil and pops it. All right, we'll have a quick coffee break and then we'll jump in. If anyone else has any questions, who have I seen that's dropped in here as well? We've got, I think I've said Mark. I don't think I've said g'day to you. Jade Star, hello to you. Gary Hubs, Gazza, hope you are doing well. So Gazza. Gary says, anyone else have silent waveforms after optimizing performance? All the time here. Have to select, cut, paste. I want to cast my phone into the fire, the burning pits of hell. Yeah, so that can actually happen. I had a question from someone with that exact issue when you have, and it can be optimizing performance, or sometimes it can be a merge. Sometimes, for whatever reason, the audio engine just says, no, there's no audio there. You're like, there is audio there. I just put it there. And it says, no, computer says no. So the only answer is exactly what you said, Gary, is to copy it and then paste it into a separate track. And then it tends to work. Why it does it? Because GarageBand is unique. And not unique in a good way. I like that when I stop talking, or you just get to hear the wave sounds and the people riding past. That's what the crackly, crackly, that's the boardwalk behind me. People riding bikes and scooters on the boardwalk. I'll just see. The Tool Mat, hello to you. Kim, hello to you. Sion, hello to you. Thanks for all for being here. If you do have questions, add them to the list, because Jasmine, when she finishes digging out her marshmallows from her hot chocolate, in fact, I'm just going to grab the... I'm going to grab the iPad here. Next question here is from Major, who says, she's just like, this guy doesn't stop talking. When I finish mixing in GarageBand and export it, it doesn't sound as good as it does in GarageBand. Do you have a fix for this? Exporting from GarageBand. Do I have a fix for this? So yeah, here's the problem. GarageBand does something called auto normalization. So auto normalization, what it does is it will make sure that your peak volume is at 0 dB. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means that if your volumes are lower than the maximum volume, it will just raise them all up and put them up to 0 dB. If you've mixed your tracks too loud and they're actually peaking over, your overall volume is over 0 dB, it does something slightly worse, which is it compresses, it limits the sound and drops it down. So there's two things that can happen here. If your overall mix is slightly quieter, what it will do is lift the overall volume. Now, that doesn't have any significant problems or any issues with actually releasing it or using it for mastering, because you can either just turn the input volume down if you're mastering it, but really the ratios are all the same. The problem comes in is when you've got, say, 16 tracks and they're all at max volume, and then your overall sound is over 0 dB. GarageBand will limit it down, and that's probably what you're hearing. In the playback in GarageBand, it kind of protects you from it, but as soon as you mix it down, then you'll get like this flat top flat waveform, and that will be that compressed or crushed mix. So the tip for this is there's a volume hack you can do using the FX track. So if you search my name on YouTube, Pete John's Volume Hacks, there's a video there where I give you a bunch of volume hacks all about GarageBand, and one of them is to lower your volume. So you don't have to go in and individually drop down each track, you can just go in and lower the overall volume of your track. Let's gump in, that's a good thing. We'll gump into our next track. So we've got this one from Miguel Ruevo. Says, hi, I love your channel. Pete, a guitar, a mic, an iPad, and an iRig. Is it enough to do a solo podcast and record some songs and transition songs? I sure hope so, because that's what I'm using here at the beach at the moment, is pretty much that, except I'm using my laptop for this because I can't. StreamYard is kind of my safety blanket, and I could have used an iPad or a phone, but just to give you an idea, my setup here is I've got my laptop, my Steinberg UR22C, this microphone, my AKG D5, and then my Logitech C922. And that's it. It's a pretty simple setup. So guitar, iPad, iRig. Yeah, so here's a couple of things that I'd suggest with that. If you want to start recording, is If you're using an iRig, go for something like the iRig HD or preferably something like the iRig Pro IO or Pro Duo, because that has a microphone preamp as well as a guitar input, and it connects up via USB or Lightning. So that's going to give you much better quality sound for your guitars and your microphone. And then utilizing your iPad, the only challenge that people have with this is, say you want to do some processing, you want to get some effects in GarageBand or ToneBridge or BiasFX, but you want to record video using that same iPhone or iPad, that can be a problem. And my recommendation there is use a second device. So if you've got an iPhone and an iPad, what I often say is do your audio recording on your iPad with all of your processing, and then get your phone and use that to shoot video. So if you wanted to do, say, a video podcast, or you want to shoot a video of you playing music, that's one of the things that you can do to have that second device. And then you can use something like either iMovie or LumaFusion to bring those together. But if it's just audio, just a podcast, then yeah, you'll be absolutely fine. What are you doing? That's my wave. See, I usually like crap on for too long, and I don't have a producer telling me that's enough. Wind it up, Pete. Keep going. Here's a question, and I think I saw Joe and Barry just jumping on in. There you go. We've got Joe and Barry are here, and they've got a question here. I have no lead in my latest recording. I know you have a tutorial on how to add some bars. I do. So, and again, because I don't have my full setup here, Joe, I can't sort of screen share because I'm kind of on my one screen, but I think it's called No Sections Adam or something like that. So if you search Pete John's Add Sections, because what you can basically do, here's the premise, it's actually pretty simple. So say you've recorded something with no lead in, but you want to have, say, 2 bars or 4 bars lead in. All you need to do is hit the Sections button, so that little tiny hidden plus button in the top right corner. You can play along at home if you're doing it. Hit that tiny plus button, hit Add Section, it'll add the section to the bottom. Then all you need to do is hit the edit button, drag that section to the top, and then that will become your lead in. So just once again, hit the Sections button, add in 2 bars or 4 bars, it'll put them at the end of your project, then hit edit, drag it on up, and put it at the start of your project. You'll be hunky-dory. What do you reckon, Jazz? That would work, yeah?
Yeah.
She's like, yeah. We thought it would be warmer here, but we didn't realize, you know, this time of the day, it's pretty chilly out here. Let's go. Next question is from Tim Osborne. Hello to you, Tim. Hope you're doing well, my friend. Hi, Pete. I've seen your video about your new ProSonus monitors. Yeah, my question is, what is best, recording and mixing with monitors or decent headphones or both? I am used to my Beodynamics and I know the sound, but maybe I'm led to a false sense with that. Yeah, let's do it. The headphones versus monitor speakers question. So here's the basic. Until I got these speakers, until I got the ProSonus, I would say use headphones. Because here's the thing. A decent pair of headphones like these, even though these are my old version that I brought to the beach here that are all kind of ratty, the HD280 Pros are a $100 pair of headphones. And in the past, they have always been so much better than the monitor speakers that would be at $100. The thing is, these ProSonus for $100 are actually pretty good. So I'm kind of on the fence now as to whether you'd go headphones or whether you'd go monitor speakers if you had that $100. So I'll probably cover that when I do my review of the ProSonus speakers, because previously I had these $100 headphones and they were about equivalent to, say, the $400 KRK Rockets that I was using. So I would say, hey, when you start out, get your headphones. Plus, the other benefit with headphones is if you're in a environment where there's some background noise, then headphones are obviously going to help you. If I was trying to mix something and I had a pair of speakers here, apart from disturbing the peace of the beautiful landscape here, I would also be having a whole bunch of trouble with the reflections and the things going on in this little gazebo area here. So if your room is not well treated, or if it's got reflective surfaces, or if it's too big, or if it's got high ceilings, then that's where these things can come in super handy. So I would always lean towards headphones, especially when you're starting out. You get a flatter, more consistent signal for your mixing. What was that? Or if there's people sleeping, exactly, spot on. If you record in the home studio and your family are asleep at the time, absolutely. All right, do the joke now, Joey. I had a really good idea for the joke, but my I'll just check and make sure that my Logitech now. See, my Logitech software is broken because I was able to turn the brightness all the way down on the camera, and I tried it. But we're going to have to do this. It's like, without people like Joey Helpish and without him supporting the channel, we would look like this. But thanks to people like Joey, we can look like... Yeah, that didn't work at all, did it? And now I'm out of focus. Oh, no. There we go. I ruined it because I can't control my camera. I completely ruined the focus. So, yeah, it was just the inside of my hand. And now you've probably got a big, like, Pete handprint on the lens of the camera. But thank you, Joey. I do appreciate it. And if I can get it working better, I'll do a better version of the joke on the happy hour later, if I can get the that happening. This backdrop that you're seeing here, this is this show we're doing here at 6:30 in the morning. The happy hour is going to be at 11:30, and that's going to have a very different view. It'll be much brighter out here, so we'll be managing the sun, and I'll hopefully be able to do a better version of the joke. Alrighty, let's grab our next question, shall we? We got some problems with our form there. No, you're just working through which questions we've answered. Here's our next question. This one comes from Patrick. Hello, Patrick. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for all you have offered, Pete. You're very welcome. Could you share which plugin and how you would set a subtle reverb and delay when recording live or performing live with a PA? Subtle reverb and delay. So, this is actually a very relevant question because I, again, not to be self-promoting, but hey, it's my show, so I will self-promote, right? But at 11:30 today, which is in 4 hours' time from the end of this show, which is at 7, yeah, that works out. So in 4 hours after this one finishes, we have the happy hour kicking off here. And I will be using my brand new Roland Cube Street EX, which does have delay and reverb on it. So that's probably the number one tip for you, is if you've got something with delay and reverb actually built in, then that's what you'd use. So a lot of PAs have a mixer, and more modern PAs than modern portable amps have their own mixer built in that you can actually utilize. So that's probably tip number one if you can do that. In terms of plugins that you'd use, say you're going through your iPhone or your iPad and you're looking for delay or reverb, you can of course go through GarageBand. The built-in delay and reverb on GarageBand is quite good and quite customizable, and you can dial in. You can then go with like a plugin from Clevcrunch. I'm taking too long. I'm going to hold your iPad now. You've lost iPad privileges. You could use something like Cleverb from Clevcrow, which is a nice reverb plugin, and there's a heap of different delays. In fact, there's the free ones. There's the, what is it, the DL01 and the VBO1, which are free delay and reverb plugins, which are quite useful as well. So, yeah, anything that you can customize and that you can set in. So for reverb and delay, something that you can actually customize. I should have put her on my other side because I can't see out of that eye, so then I wouldn't see her fluffing around and putting her thing. All right, you want me to ask the next question?
Yeah.
All right. I think so. Let's jump in. So this one is from Kim. Now, Kim, I think you mentioned at the start of the show, or you mentioned in an email or something, that, you didn't have this question anymore, but maybe I could answer it anyway because other people may have it. So I'm going to answer it anyway. So Kim says, "Hi, Pete. Planning on uploading my song to YouTube, definitely, and Slaps, maybe. Does YouTube have restrictions about how many times we can upload, delete, and re-upload a video with the same name? Just in case I upload and it's not loud enough, if I make it too loud and it sounds awful. Want to be able to take it down, redo it, re-upload if I need to. I'm using a loudness meter, but finding it a tad confusing. Thank you." Good question, Kim. I'll hand that back to you. Good question. So with YouTube, no restrictions, no limitations, no problems at all, because YouTube, you have control over that. So if it's your channel and it's on YouTube, you're able to actually, sorry, I've got a dancing monkey here. I just need to do this. Dance monkey. I'll play Dance Monkey if you're not careful.
No.
She doesn't like that song. What was I saying? YouTube, you're allowed to actually upload an unlimited number of songs, and you can redo it as much as you like. The challenge here, and probably what you've heard me ranting about, is when it's things like DistroKid or Amuse or releasing to iTunes and Apple Music and Spotify and places like that, they won't let you do that. Because here's what was happening, is that artists were actually releasing a song and then going, oh, I'm going to try and promote this, and I'm going to try and get it out there. It wasn't working. So what they would do, they would actually pull down the song and then re-release an exact same version of that song and then try and get it on playlists and try and promote it and try and drive some hype. So the stores and the platforms got super sick of that, and they went, we're not going to allow this anymore. Once you release it, if you try and re-release the exact same song, we're going to shut it down. Now, what you can do is if you change the audio, so if you tweak the audio, so I had a problem with my song Hold On, which had a little glitch at the start, and that was a problem. So with that one, I had to actually remove like about half a second of audio from the very start. So I was able to do that, pull it down from the stores through DistroKid, and then re-release it with the fixed audio. So with something like this, if you're adjusting loudness, it would obviously change the actual song file and the audio file, and they should be able to accept that because they want you to be able to fix it for those sort of problems. But in terms of YouTube, absolutely fine because you have complete control over your YouTube channel. You can remove songs and then re-upload them as many times as you like. I'll just make sure that I'm keeping up with the chat here and there weren't any other questions that have popped on through here. Looks like Gino and Bubba, you're having chats about things which you're working through. Question here from Desolate Morning. Where are you, Pete? Mr. Beginning. So I'm at the beach here in Adelaide. So I'm on what we call holiday. So I'm having a holiday at the beach. And as Jasmine, who's my assistant here, pointed out to me, it was Charlotte, one of my children yesterday said, there's Pete Johns. He can't have a holiday without doing a show. And it's true. I really can't. It was Charlotte. Yeah. It's really true. So if you do have other questions here, we've got a couple more on the list there. One more. We've only got one final question. It's the final question. So if you do have another question, you can do it two ways. You can either go to the form, which is linked down in the description, and submit your question there, and Jasmine will keep an eye on any new questions coming in there, because we've got heaps of time here. We will have a shorter show here, most likely, than the full hour, because we are out here on location, and I need to go and have another coffee and have some breakfast, because delicious breakfasts at the beach are good things. But let's grab this question. You're dancing to the final question. It's from Dan O, and it says, my vocals always interfere with electric guitars. What is the best way to separate the two but keep the real sound? So my vocals always interfere with the electric guitars. The best way to separate the two but keep the real sound. Good question. We'll hand that back to Jasmine. And if you do have other questions that come through, please drop them in. Good question. So in terms of that, you're looking at a couple of things. You're probably looking at things like compression and EQ and like reverb and delay. EQ is definitely the most important one. So if you think in terms of where you've got your vocals and your guitars are sitting, the reason that they can step on each other is often that they're at about the same frequency. So if you go into your EQ, what you want to do generally is find the frequency where they are stepping on each other. And then you're kind of going to make a choice. So let's say that your vocals are there around 1 kHz, like 1K or 2K, or actually vocals are a bit lower than that, about 500 hertz. Anything in that sort of range, that mid-range, what you can actually do is consider where you're actually going to remove something and make some space. So EQ is all about space. If you think about it, you're listening to the same two things. And if the guitar's playing the same note as you're singing and they're both sort of being pushed through, that's what can actually happen. Now, with electric guitars especially, there are so many harmonics in the electric guitars as well that can actually interfere with other parts of your range that going into your EQ can really help out. It's the same sort of tip as when you're using two guitars. If you've ever noticed, if you want to get that separation on two guitars, so if you play two guitars with the same amp, the same guitar, the same settings, it's going to just create this kind of crunchy, kind of noisy, muddy tone. If you want to actually separate out those guitars, a good thing to do is to boost one of them at a particular EQ point and cut the other one. And it's not always as simple as that, but that's probably the biggest tip I'd get for separating out guitars and vocals and anything. Anytime you've got muddiness or anytime you've got instruments stepping on each other, and if you're in GarageBand, something like the LRC5 is free and it's really good. Reason being is that you can control not only the frequency, but you can control the Q setting as well. So you can increase and decrease the different frequencies, and you can actually change and really notch down so that you can get a small cut or a small boost at those frequencies. So I would say EQ for the win there. Excuse me a moment. I haven't worked out. Oh, wait, I could use this mute button right here. That would have made a lot more sense to actually mute things out. All righty, let's come over here. So Kev, thank you. Kev Hart has done this. Thank you. Just a few quid for a few beers. Beautiful view. Well, thank you to Kev Hart. And if you haven't been following what Kev and Jade are doing over on Jade's channel, Jade's been recording some vocals for the new EP that Kev has put together. And if you're into your metal, if you're into your face-melting metal sounds, then I can recommend going and checking out what Jade is doing over there with Kev Hart, because it's sounding super, super good. So go and check that one out. We've rushed through these. See, having a producer here means that I've probably, in 30 minutes, I've done what usually takes me an hour to do. So I think what we've proven here is that Home Studio Q&A should probably be a 30-minute show if I actually kept on topic. But I felt like I have been rushed sometimes with this. When you get this flapping over here, it's like, I know what it's like if you're on TV now, when you like have a producer that's doing the wind up. You just need one of those sticks, you know, those big canes that you can just pull me off. So we'll see if we've got any final questions here. Otherwise, you know what? We're going to have an early minute. We're actually going to finish up early here on the show. I'll just reiterate on what I said at the very start, because I know it was a bit of a weird topic to just be, hey, it's holidays. But again, I say at the end of pretty much every show to look after yourself, look after others, and make sure that you keep creating. But the thing is, sometimes looking after yourself, so do them in order. So you need to look after yourself. It's like the old airplane thing that, you know, fit your own oxygen before you fit your children's or anyone else's. I know, how rude. So fit your own mask before you help others, including children. But the reason for that is that you're no help to anyone if you're a mess. So if you're running around gasping for air, you ain't going to be able to help anyone. And it's the same with your music. When I say look after yourself, look after others, and keep creating, do it in order. So if all you can do today is look after yourself, then do that. Hopefully by looking after yourself, you can then do the right thing by your friends, families, and communities. And then once everyone's happy there, then you can go on to creating. I think sometimes if we get those out of order, it can be a bit more of a challenge. So do that and create some music today. Get something done if you want to, or don't, because sometimes you simply need a break and you simply need to go to the beach. Or, and I know for many of you, for those in the UK, I think most of you that are here in the chat are in the UK and Europe and Canada, and you're probably thinking, Pete, it's minus 12 degrees. I ain't going to no beach, or the beach would probably just be frozen at this point. So, yeah, I appreciate that as well. I think we are actually done. Okay, no, we do have a question here. And if you just want to chuck question in front, if you do have any final questions, then I'll see them right here in the chat. So Ted, hello to you, says, hi, Pete. When I record a segment via an AUE, it plays back over the whole track. It's driving me mad. So when I record a segment via an AUE, so like an AUV3, like a plug-in, I'm not quite sure of the question. When I record a segment over AUE, plays over the whole track. Driving me mad. So I'm not sure if it's playing over the whole track as in it's looping and it's playing everything over your entire project, or if it's overpowering. For the first one, it may just be that you need to split it and remove it, because sometimes when you record something, it'll loop, or sometimes you loop a sound and it just goes for the entire length of the project. All you need to do in that case is either grab the end handle and trim it back, or I just use split. So find the point where you don't want it to be anymore, split, and then delete the bit that doesn't need to be there anymore, and you're left with just what you need. So, and if that's not the answer, if it's a GarageBand question, where you need to go is GarageBand Users Facebook group. That is a great collection of people over there, and they will be able to help out and answer your GarageBand questions. If you are not, if you're not into GarageBand, then Create, Record, Release is our official Studio Live Today Facebook page that you can jump over to. Join the group, and then you will be good to go. We'll scroll on down. Question here from Among the Unknown. Why do my clips delete when I put them in iMovie? Why do my clips delete when I put them in iMovie? Might need more information on that, because I'm not sure what would be happening or why they would delete when you put them in there. Usually when you're setting up an iMovie project, you select your clips at the start and then you drop them all into your project. You can then import a clip into iMovie. If they're deleting, yeah, I'm not sure why that would be happening. So I do have some iMovie videos, so I would check out the editing in iMovie video that I have on the channel. So if you search my name in YouTube, Pete Johns and iMovie, then you'll be able to find all the iMovie videos that I have there. Rob B says, I want a cold beer by a swimming pool. Well, I do too, but probably not at 7 a.m. I think I'll stick with the coffee. And of course, as we know, coffee tastes better in a Studio Live Today mug. Except it's quite cold now, so I need to go and get me a refill. That is going to do it. Just one final check on the list. Just do a quick refresh. We've got no final questions. Beautiful. So there you go. 12 questions in less than 30 minutes. It is very clear that having a producer, having an expert producer here with me, should probably be something I do every week here on the show. I hope you enjoyed the wave sounds and it wasn't too distracting with that behind us. What's that? Oh yeah, I did say. I said I would give you a quick tour. So as we finish off here, let's grab our camera and we can take a look and see. There you go. We've got some nice sunrise action going on over there. You can see the beach is there. You got the boardwalk there. Very nice place to go. And I'm sure I'll be going for a walk and a stroll down there either prior to or following the happy hour. Oh, now I've ruined the camera. There you go. We'll have Jasmine on camera to say goodbye. So thank you for being here. We do have the happy hour coming up in 4.5 hours' time because we're finishing early here. So I hope you can join me for that. That should be interesting. Be a little bit of trial and error. And I'll drop another clip between now and then of another song that I did here just to get you in the mood for that. Now, I believe she's probably not ready for it because I'm finishing so early, but Jade Starr is doing a bunch of stuff today, especially for her Patreons. So if you're a supporter of Jade on Patreon, you can go and check that out. And I don't think we have anything else left to go. There you go. As Mark says, hit that thumbs up. Like, comment, and subscribe. That's what the kids say, isn't it, on YouTube? Like, comment, and subscribe. Whatever I say, blah, blah, blah. She's just like, oh, yeah, Dad, blah, blah, blah. All righty. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Please be kind to yourself. Be kind to others. And keep creating. I'll see you for the happy hour later today. Thanks, folks. Take care. Bye.